Keeper Chat Series. I'm your host, Meg Kruger. I am the content lead with Pioneer Athletics. And today I am joined by Jacob Scales, but he goes by Bobber, which I'm excited to get the origin story on that one. I'm going to give him the opportunity to introduce himself, but today we're talking all about inspiring the next generation, branding 101, how we can really, you know, grab the attention of people just like Jacob. So I'm excited to hear from his point of view, but I'll turn it over to you. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And like I said, you got to let us know where that nickname came from.
Will do. Yeah. So my name is Jacob Scales, and I'm originally from Wichita, Kansas. I'm a freshman here at Ottawa University in Surprise, Arizona. And I moved out here a little over a month ago to start a new job at the Surprise Sports Complex, the Royals and Rangers spring training complex. So, my nickname Bobber, as it's shown everywhere on my Twitter profile and LinkedIn and everything. So I worked at a golf course in Wichita a couple years back. And one of those days I was working both the Wind Surge, the local minor league team, and at the golf course, obviously. And I just put one of the carts in the water one of those days, and I came back from a week-long vacation. So everyone thought I was fired. I came back from a week-long vacation, and my boss surprised me with a nickname, Bobber. So that's kind of how it all came about. If you scroll back far enough on my timeline, you'll be able to see it, the picture.
I love that. Okay, yeah, that's like the perfect origin story for a nickname. Yeah. Oh, that's
great.
That was kind
of like my welcome to turf story.
And the fact that you've embraced it is even better. You just got to lean in when something like that happens.
Exactly.
Well, that's awesome. And like you said, you just did a major move. How are you adjusting? How are you settling into, you know, student life, but also, you know, being relocated?
Yeah. So it's been really hot, not going to lie.
Yeah,
we're in the desert, so it's a dry heat, but it's still hot. So I'm looking forward to it to cooling down a little bit. But being a student, it was kind of weird the last couple of weeks because I hadn't started work yet. So it was kind of nice to settle down, but I was also itching to get back out there and get ready to work. So yesterday was my first day back, and I really enjoyed it. So
very
it was fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. And yeah, you touched on it a little bit, but let's lay the groundwork. Tell everyone, you know, how you got your start in the turf industry, as far as, you know, how did this even come up on your radar as a career option? And then, you know, where you've been in the past, and then what you've got planned for the next year or so.
Yeah. So, you know, growing up as a kid, I always had an interest in turf and, like, you know, going to grandma and grandpa's house and mowing and neighbors and whatnot. But I really, you know, working in the yard with my dad and stuff like that. But it really didn't start until COVID, honestly. And, you know, we all kind of had some weird, strange thing we did, whether that was like going on bike rides every day or what have you.
Yeah.
Lawn care was kind of my thing. So I started doing that. And then towards the end of my sophomore year, so COVID hit when I was a freshman. So a year later, in the sophomore year, I was starting to look at jobs for the summer. And I saw the Wind Surge, our local AA affiliate of the Twins, was hiring. I'm like, oh, that'd be cool. And originally I thought I wanted to do something in marketing. So I'm like, okay, maybe I can do like a promotions type gig with them. And they didn't really want to do that with me. So they kind of stuck me on ground screw. And I'm thankful that it worked out that way because I fell in love with it. 60-hour weeks during the season when they were in town, and then after that when they were not in town, it was like nothing. So that was kind of weird. You're leading two different lives a little bit, but I wouldn't change that season for the world. That's probably the most fun season I've had. But going into the 2022 season, I knew that I wanted to be in turf, but the capacity to, you know, be full-time at the stadium wasn't there yet for me. So I started looking at other places, and Flint Hills National popped up. That's a top 115 golf course in the Wichita area. So I started there in March, working weekends until the summer kicked off. And I was there at the golf course from 6 to 2:30 every day. And after that, I go straight from the golf course to stadium and help with BP and tear down and all that. And then pregame, take a shower, take a couple quick minute snoozes, and then, get ready to do it again the next day. So nice. That was a crazy summer. I don't remember a whole lot besides work from that, but the experience that I got was invaluable. So I wouldn't trade it for the world.
That's awesome.
In 2023, this past season, I was the intern for the Wind Surge, the official grounds intern. So I had a really cool opportunity through my school district where I was able to take my afternoons off and kind of use it as like a career exploration type deal.
Awesome.
And so I was able to be out there at the ballpark once the blankets were pulled off end of February until I had to leave for school August 15th, I think. And I was there pretty much every day learning the ins and outs stuff, you know, we see during the game day stuff. But, you know, the month or so leading up to opening day, that was really eye opening for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then all that goes into, you know, getting the field ready and back from winter. And then all the tedious stuff that you have to do in the off weeks to get it back to shape.
Definitely. So, and then you mentioned being a student. Tell us a little bit about, you know, where you're at and how you're going to kind of pair that with work in the upcoming year.
Yeah, so my original plan was to stay back in Wichita and go to university in Wichita, but things didn't really work out the way I wanted it to there. They wanted me to live on campus, and I'm like, I don't really want to do that. 20 minutes away from home, I'm not going to put myself out there like I should.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, let's move halfway across the country. So I made some connections. We took a spring break trip here in March last year, and I made some connections with Eric and Colby over here at the complex, and never really thought anything of it after I finished talking with them. And I called them up one day and I'm like, hey, would you guys mind having me on your crew during the school year? And they're like, oh, absolutely. Just let us know when you want to come down and start and we'll get you going. So it's pretty seamless the way it worked. And it was almost like a reassurance from God that like, this is where I'm supposed to be. So
yeah,
I'm really excited to be here.
Definitely. Well, yeah, you said it didn't really work out the way you wanted to, but it kind of sounds like it worked out exactly the way it was intended to. So
yeah, that's... so my plan is to do my gen ed classes here, so like, you know, college algebra, chemistry, bio, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then I'll probably do 2 years here, and then I'll transfer to Kansas State back home and I'll do my TURF classes there. So
very cool. Yeah. Well, congratulations, that's very exciting and definitely a lot to look forward to. And yes. I love that you mentioned that, you know, you had like maybe some potential interest in like marketing or promotions side of it. Because I can definitely still see, like, I can see that in your profile. Mm-hmm. That's how you and I got connected. You reached out kind of to see what you should be doing on social media is from the point of view of, you know, somebody wanting to create a portfolio of sorts. And I like responded pretty much saying, I don't have any advice for you because what you were doing already is exactly what I would have already advised. So the fact that, you know, you're able to kind of still, you know, look into those interests that you might've had in a past life and incorporate it into TURF and, you know, securing jobs is a really cool way to have the best of both worlds in some sorts.
Yes, absolutely. I had a little bit of social media experience. A family friend, he actually owns a tutoring business. So in the off seasons, I kind of worked for him and learned the ropes about social media, what to post, when to post, what not to post.
Yeah.
That was a big thing. And then just kind of, you know, the frequency of it. So
definitely. I'm really
thankful that happened. So yeah.
Very cool. And yeah, and you know, your Twitter profile for sure in my eyes is kind of a living, breathing resume. Yeah. And I love, you know, just the way that you have photos paired with videos. And I know we talked a little bit about it and you're like, oh, I'm not necessarily like a thought leader, but there's definitely a lot of thought leadership on that page, just in the sense that, you know, people in hiring, you know, that have those decisions to make, that they can, you know, they're the ones hiring people. They want to hear from your point of view and they want to know what attracts the next generation to a job or what attracts the next generation to our industry as a whole, and how we can recruit more people in a sense. So you're already kind of, you know, giving them some golden nuggets just by sharing your point of view on social. But, you know, what do you really think, you know, from your point of view, representing the next generation, how can we recruit more talent into the industry? Your journey, you know, is very cut and dry that you already had it on your radar. You had an interest in it. But for people that don't even know what goes into, you know, a game day or creating a Parks and Rec landscape, like, how can we really recruit more talent?
Yeah, kind of like what you touched on, you know, the biggest thing is no one knows that this is a viable profession. Mm-hmm. And it has a big stigma around it that, you know, all we do is just cut grass, which is far from the truth. So, you know, first off, I think TikToks are really big. It kind of shows just the general eye, like, this is what we do, and it's more than cutting grass. And we're here for, you know, 10 or 12 hours a day on a game day. So, but, you know, if you're a sales rep or like a minor league guy, I would really encourage you to get out to your local high school field when they do their field work days at the beginning of the season and make those connections with the kids, because those are the kids that I think are more prone to get into the industry, because one, they have the love for the sport, and two, they're probably hard workers because they're already playing the sport and doing school at the same time. And maybe those connections can translate into you connecting them with a golf course guy or a minor league guy on your circuit. So, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, that is great advice. Just to, you know, you're already making those connections with the coach. If you're a vendor, like, you already are meeting with them, talking with them. So just taking it one step further and, you know, getting students involved is a really good approach. I like that idea a lot, actually. Because it doesn't just have to be the actual groundskeeper. It could be the people that are selling in the industry. They have a lot of opportunity to, they're already stopping in. So it's like, why not? Yeah. Take it one step further. That's a great, great suggestion. And you know, again, coming from your point of view where you've worked a couple seasons on a crew, you know, some as like a game time staff, some as an intern, but what are the things that you kind of have seen in the industry that are working, and what elements do you think, the next generation might have a hard time with, or is there anything in the industry that you think we could adjust or be prepared for, you know, the next generation to maybe have some issues with it? If all of that, you know, came across, it was kind of a jumbled up, but from your point of view, really, what are the things that are working? What are the things that maybe aren't working?
Yeah. So, I mean, looking back on it, I really came into this industry because of the uniqueness of the job. And, I chose this industry, because of the people I've met and how they treated me. So I've been able to, I've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of major league crews. We've taken a lot of vacations that have, you know, hit up a lot of cities that have big league crews. So I made a lot of connections, and, you know, just them taking an hour or 45 minutes after a long day to talk with me, like a no name like me, not even a big whiz in the industry. It really says a lot about how tight knit this industry is, and how we have each other's backs. And that's really attractive to someone looking for an industry, I'd say. But it says a lot to me when a lot of guys I reach out to and they don't reply back. That kind of leaves a sour taste in my mouth. But, you know, I get it. We have a long, busy schedule. But, you know, if you could just take 2 minutes out of your day and send a quick message, whether it's an email or a text, and just be like, hey, I'm sorry we couldn't get you out. Here's my phone or email. Give me a shot or give me a shout when you're available. And that really speaks dividends. And, you know, those guys looking back and the guys that I met, those are guys that I want to intern for someday. So that kind of stabs them in the foot when they're not willing to, you know, meet you. So
definitely.
But I'm kind of going to pick on the SFMA a little bit, but the SFMA kind of being silent on the game on grass movement. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of put a sour taste in my mouth a little bit as well. We all know, every groundskeeper knows, and a good portion of the general public knows, that the NFL and the MLB should be played on grass. That's pretty uniform. There's millions and millions and millions of dollars being spent on those players, but yet we can't provide a good service that's uniform for everyone. So I think if the SFMA really came out and was vocal about that, then that would really start to turn some heads. Mm-hmm. And as well as their job board, I think it's a great job board. But if we have some salary requirements that, you know, kind of show like, okay, you're opening a position for a AA head groundskeeper. This is what the data we collected from the last trade show, and this is how much they're making in a range. And if it doesn't meet that range, you can't post it on our job board. That's how we'll start to drive up some of those salary requirements and overall make a better wellness of life, because this is a very taxing job, especially during the season. So being able to be financially compensated is very, very reassuring for someone coming into the industry.
Well, and even, you know, just simply posting what the salary is so that people don't invest in a job that, you know, don't invest in time and sending that resume, trying to make the connection, and then it being like, oh, you know, this does not align with what I need in order to live. Just having that initial salary posted could be a big obstacle already taken care of. But yeah, that's a great suggestion. I think that that is going to be something like that the next generation is going to be more vocal about. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be up to, you know, the groundskeepers to really secure a seat at the table with the people that are, you know, managing budgets or determining money, how it moves around in the organization, to really, you know, secure some finances for their crew. And it's not going to be easy, for sure. We're not saying that's, you know, a no-brainer situation, but it is for the next generation and for, you know, the people already in the industry. It's going to have to be something that's seriously taken into account. But those are all great, you know, points of view, definitely. But I love what you said that, you know, you initially were attracted to the job because of the uniqueness, but you've chosen it as a career because of the people, because that could not be more like, you know, that is exactly what this industry is you go to one like conference or a field day, or even just work on a crew, and you know why people have chosen to be in this industry. Cause that camaraderie, that family like mentality is really, it makes it easy to go and work those hours, or, you know, at least makes it worth it at the end of the day, when you know you're working alongside people that value you, respect you, you know, love you in a sense. So
exactly.
I love that you said that. And that really leads into my next question, which is another huge part about our industry, which is the mentorship component. You know, talk a little bit about, you know, the importance of finding good mentors and then utilizing them during this whole transitional period, which you've been in, you know, coming from game day staff to securing internship. Now you're going to be a student and then, you know, graduating and looking for full-time gigs. How important do you think it is for you to find good mentors and then really lean on them during this whole process?
Yeah. I mean, mentors and bosses in general can make or break a young person's first impressions of the industry. So
for sure.
Ben Hartman and Jake Cooley, I'd like to give a shout out to you guys. You guys are like older brothers to me, and I couldn't imagine what my career would be like if I didn't have you guys in my corner. So a big shout out to you guys and Dylan's son at Flint Hills as well. It's so nice to be able to bounce off ideas of, though, because like discussing career aspirations and like having someone to lean on and talk to that's been in your shoes before is really comforting. And those are a sign of good mentors, when they care about you more than just you as a worker, but you as a person. So everyone talks about how they're able to learn what not to do from their bosses because their bosses were not very good. But I couldn't say that's the case for me. That's the opposite. They've been so good. I just need to replicate what they've done and just put a little spin on it on my own. So
I love that. And yeah, and it always is great to see, you know, those relationships, you know, even though you've moved on, you know, them, I've seen them on Twitter, you know, when it was your last day, like shouting you out and excited for your next chapter. And that really encompasses what a good mentor is somebody that, you know, is building you up to the point where you can leave and go and do bigger and better. So you're very fortunate. And I can say that that is a lot of people's experience in the industry, is you find a good boss and it's a make or break
situation. It's tough to leave too, you know?
Yeah. Love that. Okay, so let's talk about internships. You know, working with the Surge, that kind of, you know, went from game day to internships. But as far as like strategies for securing the next steps, what did you kind of go, how did you go about that? Or what advice could you give other people in your shoes as far as, you know, getting in front of the right people when it comes to getting the next job?
Yeah, I mean, those site visits that I talked about earlier, I mean, those helped tremendously. Like I said, those are guys that, because I was able to meet them and see what their operation was like and what their crew like was kind of required of, it really kind of piqued my interest and be like, okay, maybe I would like to, I could see myself living up here someday and interning for them. But I try and keep in touch with those guys that I met, especially who aren't on Twitter, just to keep those connections, and maybe someday we'll cross paths. You never know.
Yeah.
So it's always a good idea to do that. But I had a good idea what I was going to get with the Wind Surge because I had been there for 2 years, obviously. So I was able to use that as a springboard almost and be like, okay, I know we don't do stencils well at all. So I'm going to make that my passion project this year. And so if you scroll on my Twitter timeline a little bit, you can see all the designs that we did. And the front office loved it. Fans loved it. It was a big hit. So I'm glad it worked out that way. But even, you know, with my current position in, here in Surprise, like I talked about how we were here in spring break, met him, didn't really think anything of it. And then a couple months later down the road, called him up and he's like, oh, absolutely. So if I didn't put myself out there, who knows where I'd be at right now.
Yeah.
So
the worst thing someone can say is, you know, we don't have the, you know, the capacity to bring you on. But again, like you said, having those connections for something down the road, even if it's when you're in, you know, a hiring position and you're looking, you know, who have they passed up on or who have they, you know, connected with or who have they built up in the industry that you could potentially hire, or just calling on each other because you need help with, you know, best practices on turf. So very cool. All right. So let's talk a little bit about your portfolio, because as I mentioned, I love what you're doing on social media and how you've really made that into like a living, breathing resume. You know, what was the thought behind the start of that? Was it just you wanted to, you know, catch the attention of others, or what, you know, what has really guided your whole social media presence? What things have you learned, or what other advice could you give others in your position?
Yeah. So, I mean, it kind of started out just because I saw, like, someone said that turf Twitter is almost like a living resume.
Yeah.
So I'm like, ooh, I should probably, if I want to, you know, be in this industry, I should probably start one. And really, I took that to heart. So, but just to, you know, scroll my timeline and see what other guys are doing in the industry and kind of be like, oh, that's really cool. Or kind of like, oh, that stencil is really cool. Maybe I can put my own spin on it next time.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of stuff like that. And being able to, you know, reach out and ask guys questions. I've done my fair share of that in my time. So I'm really thankful that guys have responded to me, because I'm an intern and somewhat a no name still.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that still speaks a lot about our industry. But I try not to think about what I post a lot, because then it, you know, if you overthink it, and then it turns into like this whole spirals out of control thing.
Of
and
course.
The impressions and likes don't get where you want it to be. So posting like once a week is, I think, a good guideline for me. But, you know, if there's things I want to post that I really feel people should see, I'm willing to go over that.
Yeah.
It's like a soft guideline for sure.
Yeah.
But you won't catch me posting any like long, heartfelt just text on Twitter, because, I mean, be honest, if you're scrolling through Twitter, are you going to stop and read something, or are you going to look at a picture for 2 seconds?
Yeah.
And, you know, pictures, they speak 1,000 words. So that's kind of like your first impression. And, you know, everyone's attention span these days is getting shorter. So I think it's best to stay away from the long text.
And definitely authenticity. If it doesn't feel natural for you to, you know, be, you know, sharing a bunch of text or, you know, having a conversation of sorts with your Twitter post, and, you know, if it's more authentic for you to be posting photos or videos, that's what's going to really relate to people more. So that's always, you know, my guideline is if it feels natural for you to take a photo and then post it, that's going to perform much better than the alternative. But, you know, for some people, if, you know, long threads of them talking is what feels authentic to them, and it's what they love to do, then by all means. But I think authenticity at the front is for sure what you'd want to aim for.
Yes, for sure.
Awesome. Well, like I said, I can't applaud your social media activity enough. I love what you're doing. Go ahead and plug your handle so people can follow along.
Yeah, so it's at Jacobs_scales, I believe, and the K in Jacob, I'm a little special. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the perfect way to, you know, differentiate yourself. Your parents, or, you know,
if you just search Bobber, it'll probably pop up.
Yep, too, so. I'm sure. All right. So next question for you is, you know, what are your hopes for really helping inspiring the next generation to consider a career in turf? You know, if it's simply just, you know, within your own pool of people, you know, letting them know about the career, or hoping to, you know, catch attention on Twitter, but really, what are your hopes for kind of moving the next generation's eyes in our direction?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like my generation has a big trend that they're moving away from a typical 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sports field management is far from a 9-to-5. It's, you know, a lot more than that, honestly. But if you like being around sports and urban agriculture, this is really something for you. And the hours are long, like I said, but the instant gratification you get when you're you mow a perfect foul line, or you mow a perfect line, or put down a perfect string line, that's something that it's priceless. And that, you know, the adrenaline rush that you get during a rain situation, it's like a drug to me. I need more and more of it. So this is a pivotal time in our industry, though, because we got the NFL and FIFA World Cup coming mm-hmm. to the States, and FIFA's putting a lot of money into all the research. So I think we're at like a standstill right now, but we're about ready to make a big jump.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for that. And we need a lot more young leaders to be a part of this next generation and take this to the next level. So
definitely love that. All right. So to close this out here, I told you about our new segment called the Weather Report. It's essentially just an opportunity for us to talk about the things that have us excited. So, you know, just a way to end on a high note. What out there in the industry have you seen either on social or just talking with other leaders that really has you excited for the future?
Yeah. So like I said, kind of the FIFA World Cup coming in 2025, that's mm-hmm. something I'm really looking forward to seeing how the industry reacts to that and, you know, taking it to the next level. But short term though, SFMA, I'm hoping to be able to make it out to Daytona this year.
Awesome.
And that'll be really cool to be able to see the industry, you know, in one big room together.
Yeah.
And not just through a screen. So I'm looking okay. forward to, you know, put some names to faces a little bit and put myself out there a little bit more.
For sure. Well, yeah, start manifesting that now. If you got to get to Daytona. Mm-hmm. It's really like as soon as someone, you know, you've already drank the Kool-Aid, you've already bought into the industry, but
yeah.
that is the nail in the coffin. Once you get to go and see everybody in person, it's an incredible experience. But to go back to the FIFA, do you think you want to find yourself on a crew that is going to be, you know, working the World Cup at all, or are you thinking you're going to stick to baseball for now?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely like to, you know, explore football and soccer for sure. That's something I played soccer in high school, so that's something that's kind of near and dear to my heart. And
awesome.
We'll see where it takes me. But yeah, that would definitely be an avenue that I'm looking to explore at some point.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you again for doing this. Exactly like it was like pretty much just taking our messages from Twitter and putting them mm-hmm. in a Zoom conversation. So I appreciate your time. And I think it will, a lot of people will get some good golden nuggets from it for sure.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity.